Good morning. Welcome to this service of morning prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. My name is Reverend Cliff Pooley, and this is the service for the fifth Sunday after Trinity, and it comes to you from the Churn Valley Benefice. When the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dearly beloved, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we've done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins, he pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. We continue with the first seven verses of the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our reading comes from the first book of the Kings, chapter 19, beginning at the 19th verse. And so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. The psalm is Psalm 84, beginning at verse 8. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, 5th chapter, beginning at the first verse. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat and taught the people from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. We say the Jubilate Deo. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other that fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, make clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. The Collect for the Fifth Sunday after Trinity. Grant, O Lord, we beseech thee, that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by thy governance, that thy church may joyfully serve thee in all godly quietness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for Peace. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defence, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. We pray for the Queen's Majesty. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only ruler of princes, who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers upon earth, most heartily we beseech thee with thy favour to behold our most gracious Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and so replenish her with the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that she may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Endue her plenteously with heavenly gifts, grant her in health and wealth long to live, strengthen her that she may vanquish and overcome all her enemies, and finally after this life she may attain everlasting joy and felicity, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray for the clergy and the people. Almighty and everlasting God, who alone workest great marvels, send down upon our bishops and curates and all congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly please thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Grant this, O Lord, for the honour of our advocate and mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everlasting God, we bring our prayers to you, the Lord of all nations, asking that your blessing of love and peace may be known to all people everywhere. Help us to bear abundant fruit from the seeds of potential that you have planted within us. We pray for your church and especially the people you've called to be prophets and teachers in our generation. We pray that they will be strengthened and protected by the Holy Spirit, and that through them your church will reveal the good news of salvation and draw all people together under your rule of justice and mercy. And as we begin once again to meet in our church buildings, we pray that we may conduct ourselves in ways that help those who remain unsure about attending and showing them understanding, as would our Saviour. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Father God, we pray that in our communities all will be welcome and accepted by all, and will seek always to serve you and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we raise before you all those who seek healing of body, mind, or spirit, asking that they will sense the touch of your loving hands and feel your peace and presence alongside them on each step of their journey towards healing and holiness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we remember before you all those who've died. May they see your salvation and find their peace and final rest in you. We pray for those whose memory we hold in our hearts and who remain part of whom we are. Faithful God, we offer you these prayers for ourselves and for others. We ask you to accept them, that your will may be done on earth and more of your kingdom revealed to those who seek you. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world a knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. We have a short reflection on our reading from Luke's Gospel. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Well, Jesus' ministry was already underway in the region around Galilee. By this time, he'd already gained something of a following as a result of his preaching and healing, but he'd also gained some notoriety, and with reason. I think it's difficult for us to truly comprehend a world in which all the worth of a human being is based solely on their social position, without any possibility of escape from one's class. And yet, that was a system that was accepted by everyone at that time, including its victims. After all, there'd never been any other kind of view of human worth until Christ intervened. Society was structured entirely hierarchically, and at the very head was someone who was entitled to be worshipped as a god, whilst subsequent classes of people each held a diminished worth until finally we encountered the kind of folk to whom Jesus was ministering, the poor, the day labourers, the sick, the unemployable who were truly worthless, dispensable dross. Sadly, such attitudes remain in places today, and we've all heard of modern slavery and the plight of the victims. Then there are the millions of babies all over the world that are still aborted every year because they're not wanted or are predicted to be born with physical or intellectual disabilities and considered unable to live lives of value to themselves or to the rest of us. And now along comes this man Jesus, who chooses not only to behave lovingly towards the scum of the earth, but who actually assures them that they are as precious in God's sight as the most elevated members of society. It's a truly revolutionary message, and it was always going to get Jesus into trouble with the ruling classes. But you know, what I think is truly remarkable is that so many of these poor and worthless who have until now believed themselves to be worthless find the courage to believe this message that Jesus has brought from God. And they really would have had to have been courageous to believe and live out what Jesus taught, since his message was such a threat to the political powers of the time. The second century Greek philosopher Celsus despised Christianity, and he taught that the danger of Christianity was that it sought to transcend political power and overturn the system. And sure enough, as Christianity challenged the philosophy of the ruling classes during the first centuries of the church, he was to be proven correct. But of course, Jesus' message can only be meaningful to people who believe that there is a source of meaning and purpose for humanity that exists beyond the material world. So many people these days will not accept the gospel because they've been persuaded that the fact that humankind has mastered certain techniques of material manipulation, there's proof that there is nothing beyond the material world. For such people, there is no higher criterion for what is good than personal choice. And they are encouraged by the world to seek that personal choice. As Christians, though, we believe that the authentic human life is one that understands that knowledge is perfected only in wisdom, and that that true wisdom comes from a higher authority that exists beyond this world. Simon Peter recognized that as soon as he encountered Jesus. "I'm a sinner," he cried. I don't believe that Simon Peter was thinking only about the various misdemeanors that he committed during his life, but rather that until then, he'd been living according to overwhelmingly materialistic values, running his business, making a profit, getting by day by day, all perfectly reasonable in some respects. But suddenly, he's come to the realization that there's more to life, that true life integrates virtue, imagination, patience, humility, and prudence. Life in which one seeks to achieve the potential for which God created us and to facilitate that for others. And actually, Simon Peter, James and John, rather than grasping the financial windfall from the bumper catch of fish, leave it all to follow Jesus and reach out for true meaning and purpose in their lives. Meaning and purpose that is to be found in serving God in ways that enrich the lives of God's people. I think that the lesson to be taken from Simon's encounter with Jesus is that you cannot allow guilt about a previous life lived in ignorance of God's purpose for us to blight your future. Rather, you must use the insight that the Spirit of God is giving you to bring blessings to others. It's what Jesus wanted of Peter. He, like us, had to realize that in order to become available for God's purposes, he had to stop beating himself up about his past failings and allow himself to be fed by God, who feeds all who turn to him abundantly. Perhaps this huge catch of fish was a symbol of that abundance. And now, let me finish this service by saying the grace, which I hope you'll join with me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen. And now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us unto himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us for his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts and souls. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen.